So one thing to clarify, as I talk about pornography, it's easy to associate that with like hardcore sex pornography, but this addresses everything that kids that y'all are exposed to that has any kind of sexual intent behind it. So that's on Netflix and Instagram and Snapchat. There's stuff everywhere that is considered pornography. And then the main thing that I want to emphasize is we're going to start and end this time the same way, and that's with this. There's really only one solution to this problem, and that's a heart changed by Jesus. And y'all know that, but we have to remind ourselves of that as we go through practicals and give you some resources and things that are very, very helpful. Ultimately, the only way that we battle this is by the power of Jesus. And so that's kind of the mode that we go into it with. So for the sake of time, I'm gonna jump right in. You've got a handout. We're gonna go through kind of 10 brutal facts or statements about the state of pornography in 2017, and then look at some 10 leader things that you can do to kind of help lead this conversation with your cell group and those types of things. So the pornified world of 2017, number one, the reality for teenagers is worse than the stats suggest. And the stats are actually really, really bad. Here we see a study by Barna in 2014. So remember, this is 3 years ago, so it is way worse than this now. 2014, these are the percentages of men that had viewed pornography at least once a month. So 18 to 30, which is where most of you probably range, 79%, which is probably much higher than that now. The surprising one for me was girls. We see in the older generations, there aren't a lot of people who are either looking at it or would say that they're looking at it, but you look at 18 to 30 and it's 3% less than guys, which is kind of unheard of in my mind. And it tells me that even though under 18 isn't polled in this survey, it's probably even higher than that. So I say that to say that guys are pretty good nowadays about bringing this conversation up. Not that it's normal, but it's become more normal to talk about it and confess about it. It seems pretty taboo for girls still, that this is just not talked about. And if the stats are right, then a lot of our cell group girls are struggling with these types of things. And there are studies that show that Christians usually come in about 20% less, but still, 20% less than 76 is still over half of them. So this is a very, very big issue with the kids in our cell groups. These are just to show you that they're getting a variety of things. Young adults and teens who were polled, 83% of the boys polled said that they had viewed group sex. You can see the different percentages of things that they had watched. And so the fact that people are having access to these things and seeing these types of things in this grade of numbers is absolutely terrifying. It's incredibly terrifying. And you can see the girls are just below the guys in most of those statistics. And we, if y'all don't have a pen, there are some down here in the bucket. We'd love for you to take any notes that you need with the intent of maybe this is something that you can go over with parents at a parent meeting. Because unfortunately, a lot of times parents are oblivious to these types of things. We don't want to step in and parent these kids. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want, like, just chunk them. Here we go. We don't want to step in and parent, but y'all do have a very, very key role in the development here and stepping in the gap when parents may drop the ball, but ultimately we do want to equip parents to be able to have these hard conversations as well. So here are a few more statistics. The percentage of adults that say viewing porn is wrong is 55%. You think it's lower or higher with kids? Yeah, much lower. Only 32% of youth and young adults, so a lot of our age, say that viewing porn is wrong. And just for fun, 56 of youth and young adults think not recycling is wrong. So more people think it's wrong to throw away a piece of plastic than to look at porn, which is pretty staggering. It's become this thing that 10 or 15 years ago, you just didn't talk about at all, to now it's just an everyday occurrence. Guys are watching porn with other guys and showing cool sights that they find to their friends and those types of things. So these are just the stats, but the reality is way worse than even the statistics. Today's porn is more potent and addictive than ever before. So listen to these three stories of some guys who've struggled. I'd looked at pictures for years, well over a decade, video clips from time to time, but when the tube sites became my daily fare, it was only shortly afterward that I developed ED problems, erectile dysfunction. I think the tube sites with their endless clips immediately accessible through my brain into overload. The tube sites are the crack cocaine of internet pornography. There's so much of it, so much new content every day, every hour, every 10 minutes, that I was always able to find constant new stimulation. High-speed porn changed everything. I began masturbating more than once a day. I found myself looking at porn prior to sex with my wife because she just couldn't do it for me anymore. These are quotes and stories from real guys, many of them who had been addicted to porn for a long time. And we just see that it keeps getting worse and worse. And here are some dates for you. Here's why it's getting worse. 1996. Does anybody know what happened in the realm of pornography in 96? That's when internet became unbridled. So restrictions in 96 went away. And so it was still pretty slow, though, to download pornography. But at that point, it started moving from magazines to the internet. But then in 2006, what happened? Still not this. I threw it up there a little too early. High-speed internet. So now a young child goes from waiting 20 minutes to watch one video to watching 20 videos in 1 minute, just as fast as they want to. And then in 2008, the iPhone, a portable pocket of porn in every kid's pocket by the time most of them reach 12, 13 years old, they have complete access to it. And so as these types of technologies develop, porn becomes much more accessible, becomes easier to find, there's more of it, and we see quotes like these guys were experiencing, and we'll talk a little more about those as we move along. 3, a porn habit is a sin to repent from, and often a chemical dependency that requires recovery. I think we have to address this one. I don't tend to automatically. When I hear of porn, I think of it as a sin. We need to give these guys some resources so that they can stop looking at porn. When in reality, porn has with it a chemical drive that is in fact greater than a lot of other addictive drugs. Look at this chart. So this is a chart on dopamine release, and you can see we have like amphetamine at the top, cocaine, sex, food. Porn isn't necessarily the highest release of dopamine, but look how long it lasts. So what that means is some of these other drugs, you get the big high, but then it kind of goes away, and then you have that need for the drive and addiction to come back, but porn ends up lasting much, much longer. And this is important to know. Just as you're dealing with kids, as they're struggling with this, this is what's going on in their body. That's why they want to quit, but they just can't. And we have to address that, hey, there are chemical issues here that sometimes require greater help than we can just give with some resources. Sometimes it's step study groups or counseling or therapy that parents need to acknowledge are okay, and in fact needed a lot of times to get over these types of things. So there's a chemical issue going on as well. 4, a growing number of teens and young adults are reporting erectile dysfunction, which when you tell this one to cell group kids, it's terrifying because they have no idea. In fact, you probably didn't necessarily know this. I didn't know this was a thing. But in 2016, a Time article came out on why young men about our age are pushing for porn to be removed from the internet. And it's because of erectile dysfunction. That after 10 years of looking at this stuff, they can't be aroused by anything but a two-dimensional woman. And so this is not a Christian article, obviously. This is people who aren't necessarily believers in the community advocating for this stuff to go away. Here's a quote. My sexual experience is very limited, and the few times I've tried sex have been a total disappointment, no erection. Been trying to quit porn for 5 months now and finally have. I realize that I've been conditioned to the point where my sexual urges are deeply linked to a computer screen. Women don't turn me on unless they are made 2D and behind my glass monitor. And this is happening all around us. Now, your cell group kids aren't to this point yet, probably, but what they do need to know is that this is a very real thing, that there's a chance that an addiction to pornography isn't just a sin that affects you spiritually, but it can affect you physically when you get married, and there are consequences to looking at these things over and over and over again. In 1992, only 5% of men under the age of 25, so 5%, reported erectile dysfunction, and in 2014, it was already up to 33%. And what that tells me is that 2014, high-speed internet had been out for about 8 years, and so after 8 years of looking, one in three guys could not get an erection because of their addiction to pornography, which is absolutely insane. All right, number five, the young brain is particularly susceptible to the addictive nature of porn. These are the kids that we are dealing with. And it's pretty understandable that the younger you are, that's when your brain is developing. And so as a person who has struggled with pornography, I can identify with this, that growing up, when you're looking at these things, there are some things that you can just never get rid of. Even by the grace of Jesus and the freedom from the sin, there are memories or other things that still lurk there, and it's because that's viewed at a young age when your brain is making connections and memories that'll last for the rest of your life. There are different numbers out there, but the most reliable one I saw was that the average age that a kid is introduced to pornography for the first time is 11. And that's the average, which means, you know, there's some of y'all probably, if you did struggle, weren't introduced till 13, 14, which means to average that, you've got kids who are 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, who are being introduced to pornography in some form by an older sibling or in some other way. And it just keeps getting younger and younger the more access we have to it. Gary Wilson says this of a young porn user: a natural shrinking of the brain circuits to the more well-known pathways means that he has well-honed responses to life. By his 20s, he may not exactly be stuck with the sexual conditioning he falls into during adolescence, but it can be like a deep rut in his brain, less easy to ignore or reconfigure. Any of you guys or girls who have struggled with that in the past know this to be true, that even with freedom, there tend to be ruts in our brain that we can easily fall right back into, that the brain has configured because of our past addictions and habits. Number six, this is obviously a very important one to us in this room, but porn is causing untold spiritual damage. You can't get statistics from this necessarily to measure it, but we know it to be true for sure. We know that there's a spiritual war going on. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. I have no doubt that this is the number one priority of the evil one in our day and age. This is the easiest way to access a young child at a very early age and just capture them for his own entertainment and for his own evil. And there's a war going on, and we as the church have to step in. You as cell leaders have been given an incredible opportunity, but also responsibility to be able to speak truth in the lives of young guys and girls who are gonna get thrown this stuff in 10, 20, 30 different ways every single week. It's all around them. We see this statement from Dr. Samuel Perry. Pornography consumption is negatively associated with the time parents spend talking or reading about religion with their children. So more pornography, less spiritual conversations. Findings suggest that increased pornography consumption itself might threaten the transmission of religious heritage from parents to their children. What does this mean? We are in the business of life change. We want to see kids come to know Jesus. We want to see kids impacted for the kingdom of God. We're raising up the next generation. And perhaps the number one barrier that we face is pornography. Because even if we're intentional about spiritual conversations at cell group, what happens to a kid who's just looked at pornography? He's sitting at that group. He's feeling shame. He doesn't want to participate. When he does, his attitude or her attitude is just a little off. And he's probably thinking about how he can get access to it again whenever he gets home. And we have to realize that that's probably the state of 75% of our kids at times who come to cell group, that they've looked at it within the last couple of days or are planning on looking at it when they go home and their parents go to sleep that night and it's causing a ton of spiritual damage in everything they do. Josh McDowell says, nothing erodes a person's faith faster than internet pornography. And I've seen it true in my own life. I've seen it true in countless other lives. And so we have to come very, very, very hard at this. Number seven, porn is destroying marriages. Why do we talk about this one in here? Well, because every kid who is at your group has parents, whether they're in a marriage or not. And porn is destroying their marriages just as much as it's destroying the lives of the kids. We see a couple of different statistics. 56% of divorces mention porn use by one of the spouses as a reason for divorce. But not only that, married couples who watch porn together are 318% more likely to commit adultery than those who don't. Porn isn't just a young person addiction, even in the church. There are tons of people who still actively struggle with this, struggle with it in their marriage, view it together in their marriage, and their kids are coming to cell group. This will break your heart. It broke mine. I was talking with a couple of our leaders who, they had a huge conversation at Chill Out, and they might share a little bit in our Q&A, but one of the kids, they just got to talking about pornography, and one of the kids said, you know how I found pornography? I found my dad's pornography. And the fact that that dad probably has no idea, but his sin is literally being passed down to his son. And it's not just tearing up the lives of students, it's all in the parents' lives as well. So we've got to figure out how to battle this. Number eight, filters and accountability aren't 100% reliable. We're gonna give you some resources today that are very, very helpful. They're not 100% reliable. We know this. But the way that Ted Shimmer, who did this training for us before, the way that he puts it is, if you lock a door to a house, can somebody still get in? Can they find a way? Yeah, they can break down a window, they can find another door open, something. But it's way better than just taking the door off the hinges and just leaving the door open. And kids today, most of your cell group kids probably have no restrictions on their iPhone. Zero. No restrictions to apps or to what they can surf on the internet. And so that's some of the stuff that we'll talk about today, some of these filters that can really help. They're not 100% reliable, but we gotta use them. Number nine, a holistic approach to recovery is needed. It's easy once you can get the conversation going. It's hard to get the conversation going, by the way. But once you can get it going, it's easy to only see the acting out portion, to hear a kid say, hey, I'm struggling looking at pornography. And if we just attack that with filters and restrictions and those types of things, it doesn't do a lot of good. It doesn't do really any good. They're only gonna relapse. And so we have to realize that although we only see a little bit, there's so much more going on under the surface that we have to learn to address as cell leaders. And that's not necessarily something I'm gonna be able to stand up here and walk through step by step what that looks like. The Lord has gifted y'all with wisdom and the Holy Spirit to be able to, in those situations when a student expresses this, just to pray, Spirit, speak through me, because I have no idea how to address these things. I have no idea how to teach a kid that it's not shameful, because sin comes, like shame comes with sin. And shame is one of the toughest things to really battle when we're dealing with pornography, because it's so, so shameful. But also there's emotional pain, there's an addicted brain that has that chemical, the dopamine release that we're talking about. There's all these other things. So a simple plan of, hey, let's all hold each other accountable. We're gonna come back and ask each other, did you look at porn? It just doesn't work today at all. There's other things that have to be addressed. And ultimately, that comes through discipleship. It comes through one-on-one, one-on-two with guys who trust each other, one-on-three conversations where you can be very open, open God's word, and get to the root of the issues that are going on and to get a bigger picture of who Jesus is before you start attacking the other things. I was meeting with Charlie and Brett this morning, and Charlie said that one of the things that he's learned as dealing with this with students is that theology conquers biology. And what he meant by that is that if we just go after the biology only, then it's not really gonna change anything. But if we can increase our view of who Jesus is, if we can get a theology of who God is and how he's defeated sin, then that helps us battle the biology part of it and the actual acting out. So number 10, the hardest one. This is very depressing, by the way. I'm very sorry. But the tsunami is coming, meaning we are in the middle of a huge storm of this stuff for sure. But just think about how rapidly it's changed in the last 10 years. and it's only gonna get worse. It's only gonna get younger. It's only gonna get more normalized, where people are just not okay with talking about it like I wanna get better, but just okay with talking about it and letting people know, yeah, it's something I do. It's not a big deal. 32% or whatever of kids don't, or only 32% think it's wrong. So there's a high high population that just don't see anything wrong with it. So that's where we as the church, as cell group leaders, have to step in. We do wanna equip families. We also have that responsibility of, as well, in the lives of these students. So, second page, let's talk about how we can help our cell kids navigate their pornified world. We'll try to get through this in like 10 or 15 minutes. Number one, you see it up there, this is the most important when dealing with this issue, is to pursue your own purity. It's very easy, and if, I mean, statistics don't lie. I get we're in a church and you're godly men and women, but there are people sitting in here who have struggled with this or are actively struggling with this. And to go into a cell group and to try to help kids understand that, hey, you know, the Lord still loves you. There is a way out of this. There is freedom from this. While you're struggling is not only impossible to do, but it's heartbreaking because then you feel that shame. And so I put this invitation out there that we're not gonna have like a corner where if you're struggling, you come afterwards, don't worry. But like text one of us staff, please. We want to walk through this with you. Most of us, I know guy staff, if not all of us guy staff, have a history with this. And so the freedom we've experienced, we want to show you that that is possible. And so you have to pursue your own purity. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number two, don't assume your kids aren't looking at porn. So I originally had up here, assume your kids are looking at porn, but then I realized that's not necessarily true. But what I do mean is, don't just assume that they're not. They're good kids. They're awesome. They're the leaders of your cell group. A lot of times, those are the ones who know how to put on a face, and they have the deepest issues going on. And so if a kid genuinely tells you he's not, statistics say that there is a possibility that that is true, but we can't just assume that, oh yeah, this is not an issue because no one's ever brought it up in cell group. They're not going to bring it up in cell group, especially girls groups. They're just not. I think the only times that we've really had girls confess to these types of things have been like anonymous, hey, what sins are you struggling with? I know my wife had that last year, a young girl basically just said, or what her prayer request was, I wish someone would take a bat to my computer. And this is like a seventh or eighth grade girl who's struggling with this. So don't assume that they're not. We were at Chill Out and one of our groups was in the cabin time and like just by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, like one of the kids just said, hey, I wanna let y'all know what I'm struggling with. And he said it was pornography. So the leaders did an incredible job and just kind of said, hey, who all has struggled in here? And I think there were probably 12 or 13 kids in the room and one hadn't looked at it within the last month. And these are our fellowship core cell group kids. So 12 out of 13, well over 90% were looking at porn just within the last month. So we can't assume that just because they go to fellowship, their families are core, that this isn't an issue. They're getting it everywhere. We'll see some of those places here in a little bit. This one's tough. Get parents involved early. And the reason I say it's tough is because it takes some wisdom. You kind of have to walk a fine line. But I'm a strong believer in fellowship parents specifically deserve to know. So if you find out a student is struggling, you have to use wisdom in how to bring their parents into that. Because you want to keep trust. We're going to talk about building a safe zone. You want to keep trust with that student of what it looks like for y'all to grow together. But as a parent myself, if my son, if Hank was struggling with pornography and there was another guy walking through it with him, that's awesome, but I would be ticked if they didn't tell me. Just because I wouldn't know how to pray for my own son. I wouldn't know the things that he's going through. And so I get that there are a lot of kids at cell group whose parents probably aren't believers, they don't even go to fellowship, whatever. You can move a little differently with those. But if you know the kid, you know their parents, you have to figure out how to bring them in a healthy way. So what we're doing with this one cell group that this is becoming kind of a big issue with is to, we're gonna have a meeting this Wednesday night with the parents and be very general, but to say, hey, a majority of these kids are struggling. We're not saying who, but here are some of the ways that they're finding it. Some of them found your porn, and we want you to know that. Others of them know your passcodes. So thank you for putting a restriction on their phone, but they know it, and they go in and look at porn and turn it back on later. But what we want you to do is to give us 2 weeks. So don't ask them questions about it for 2 weeks. We're having a cell group moment where we're gonna invite them to own this sin and to confess to you and to make a game plan, but we want it to come from them, not from you shaming them. And so, but that's a healthy way of bringing parents into it, but allowing these kids to kind of take ownership. So could be something that y'all consider doing, especially as you start to have more of these conversations. So get them involved early, have parent meetings, teach them some of these resources that we're gonna give you today. And then number four, de-shame the topic. Hey, can I get a staff person? Where's a staff person? Can one of y'all run over to the office? I realize we don't have the whitelisting sheets. I think they're in our conference room, but that's a resource that we're gonna need. De-shame the topic and create a safe zone. This is huge for cell group. You want kids to be able to come to cell group and to want to be there. As soon as this becomes a place where they're ridiculed or even like it's joked about or something that they're struggling, they're done. And so you have to create a safe zone and to be able to de-shame the topic. Some of that comes from consistently addressing it. The first time it does not feel safe and there's a lot of shame attached to it. But one of the things that really helps with that is the openness that we can model as leaders. And we'll get into a little bit of that here in a second. But first, address Netflix, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, movies, etc. Porn 2017, especially for Christian kids, is found right here. It's not found on Safari, although for a lot of them it is. It's not found on hardcore pornography sites. It's found in these types of places, searches on Netflix. I don't know this, but I would assume a lot of kids have access to Netflix, and they probably have access to, I don't know if they pay for their own account or find ways of hiding stuff on their parents' account, but there's pornography all over Netflix. And I don't even know if parents know that. The Explore page on Instagram, although Instagram has a no nudity policy, there are accounts that push the limits on just about everything. And all the kids have to do is swipe right one time, and there's a page of all these different posts. And some of it comes from their search history, but a lot of it can just be innocent that they can stumble upon. And it's all there, easily accessible through an app. Snapchat featured. If any of y'all have Snapchat, you know the little stories that are at the top. Daily Mail, those types of things that don't have nudity necessarily, but it's everything but. It's blurred out, it's someone covering something, but it's one click away, and you cannot take those things off. I've Googled and Googled. How do you get these featured stories off? They're there. So if a kid has Snapchat, instant access to that stuff that he can get anytime. And that's not something that shows up on history. Like, they can just look at it and get out of it, and parents have zero idea that that stuff's going on. Twitter to me is one of the worst because there is no nudity policy. So there legitimately is porn, actual porn all over Twitter. And so even if you have restrictions set up on Safari and internet searching, like the app itself is completely different. And we have to educate parents on that of, hey, thank you for setting up a code, but your son has Twitter on his phone. Like, he can find all of that, clear search history, no problem. And you'll never, ever know about it. Movies, there's, like I said, on Netflix, but also just going to movies, those types of things. I'll give you a couple resources on your resource page that kind of help you filter movies and know what to watch. But even songs, like in this generation, this stuff is everywhere, sexually explicit material. 24 Karat Magic, love the song. Like, it's one of those that comes on and you can't not move to it. But like, I heard seventh graders singing the other day, a lot of pretty girls around me, and they're waking up the rocket. And I'm like, do you know what you're singing? Like, I wanted to tell them you're singing about having an erection. But those things are all around them and they have no idea. And so while that in itself, that one line doesn't tank them into sin, listening to that stuff and watching movies that do have a little bit of nudity or sex in it over and over and over again, just infiltrate the mind. Which is why Paul commands us to think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, because he knows that what goes into our mind affects our heart. It affects the actions that we have. And so I'm not telling you to get on all your kids for listening to music and that type of stuff, but we just have to be aware of what they're listening to, of the effects that it's having, because they're not gonna realize it. It's a cool song to them. And one line doesn't really change who they are biologically, but over time, this stuff just infiltrates their minds and the way that they do things. And to try to ask them to leave these things is almost impossible, to ask a kid to give up his Instagram or Snapchat, but we'll talk a little more about that here in a minute. Beware of porn 2.0, sexting and Snapchat. Again, this is not something we've had to discuss in the last couple years, but this is just becoming a big thing. 51% of teen and young adult women have sent a nude image. Over half of teens and young adult women have sent a nude image. Not to get specific, but there is a school in Northwest Arkansas that, and it's some of your kids that have had this happen within the last couple of months, of one of them getting sent a nude picture by a girl who's looking for attention, and he just sends it to all of his buddies. They send it to all their buddies. And a week later, they're being investigated by the police for distributing pornography and those types of things. And I don't think our guys or our girls have any idea of the legal ramifications or the other issues that arise from sending a nude picture. I personally don't get why in the world a girl would ever want to do that. It's out there. But girls, y'all have a tough battle to be able to talk with your cell groups about that and why it's not a good thing, and to get at the deeper issues that are going on, because it's becoming more and more normal. And in the minds of a lot of girls, it's probably like, I mean, it's just online. It's not in person. That's probably not a bad thing, right? I don't know how they're getting away, like, or why they're saying that it's okay in their minds, but something is going on. And so we have to be careful with sexting, but also a lot of it comes through Snapchat, because Snapchat disappears and all that type of stuff. So this is one that, again, I'm not saying get rid of Snapchat, but just to know these things are out there is kind of terrifying. I am on Snapchat, so I would never stand up here and say, go away from it. I think a lot of your kids are on Snapchat. It's good for us to be in their worlds. But if it ever becomes something like has happened in our schools, or if that becomes a normal thing or you catch wind of it, these are the types of things that you just can't monitor, so they're going to have to go. They're just going to have to go. Number seven, educate on the dangers with stories and scripture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So young guys especially need to know, thank you. Yeah, we'll give them out in a minute. Young guys need to know about the erectile dysfunction statistic, okay? They need to know that that's actually a thing. You don't think that'll change some of their minds about when that temptation arises? We need to tell stories in a healthy way, and we're not just trying to scare them out of sin. That you can't. That's not how sin works. But we can educate, and we can point to scripture about how Jesus conquers sin. And one of the greatest stories we can tell, especially for those of you who've struggled, is the freedom that God has given you. And again, if he hasn't given you freedom, please come talk to us so that we can walk through that with you. But girls also need to know the physical and spiritual damage that looking at these things do to them and to their self-worth and to their identity and to their comparison of, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, and to their own sexual addictions to guys. Guys are not the only sexual-driven human beings, probably more so than girls, but there are many girls coming to cell group who are very, very sexually driven, who are already starting to sleep around and to test the waters and to see what their body is actually worth. Model openness, holiness. We talked a little bit about that. This one is, again, you have to have wisdom and know how to navigate things. Just to model openness for y'all from me this morning, I've been really, really sick. I think part of it is physical sickness, but I think most of it is this whole thing terrifies me, not only because of my past, but because of my son, because of our students. Because when we did this adult training for parents, the number of calls we got of like, I'm so glad y'all started talking about this, but I want you to know, here's what we're struggling with. I had parents call me and say they were looking at porn together. I had parents call me and say, hey, I just found, because I didn't know these things existed, I went and looked at my son's phone, I found porn all over it. And so we have to model openness and holiness as we go. And one of the ways to do that is to learn to be vague but specific. And the reason I say be vague, and actually one of our eighth grade boys kind of came up with this, which was crazy. While they were sitting at Chill Out and talking about this, one of them, the one who didn't raise his hand because he hadn't looked at pornography, was in the room. And one of the other kids was like, I don't know if we need to be talking about this type of stuff because I don't want him to find out ways that he didn't know how to access pornography. which is crazy that a kid would think that way. It's amazing, but we have to realize that as well. And so we don't want to just throw out everything on a table and be like, we know you're finding pornography here, 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 because there may be a kid who had no idea and that just sparks his addiction. And so you have to pray through, what does it look like for me to share openly, to be a little vague, but to be specific enough to speak into the actual situations that they're going through, especially like for me as a pastor and for y'all as cell leaders. I always have this fear of, I'm gonna give those kids an out. When I say I struggled with pornography, oh, he struggled. He's a pastor now. Like, it obviously goes away. It'll fade away at some point. Same for y'all as cell leaders. Oh, look how awesome they are. They struggled with this. Okay, it must not be that big of a deal. So we have to stress the importance and the severity of how big of a deal it is. But we also have to be openness and honest and just have wisdom. Resources. Know and utilize your resources. You have a third page that has some resources on it. I'm going a little long. Let me just kind of run through the different types really quickly. I think this is important before we get to our Q&A. There are accountability softwares. So Covenant Eyes tends to be the best. What an accountability software is, for those of you who don't know, it monitors your internet activity. It doesn't necessarily block you from going there, but it sends a report to an accountability partner, family, friend, whoever you give an email address to. So y'all probably know that. But Triple X Church is another one. I think Covenant Eyes is probably a little better. It does have a cost, but it is worth it. $10 a month is absolutely worth it. And if you have a parent that says it's not, I would love to speak with them and give them some of these statistics. Our Tribe app is an accountability app that you work with other people. You're kind of, I think I'm explaining it right. You're in a tribe together and there's some growth material, some discipleship material, that kind of thing. Yeah, so look into that more if you have any questions. OpenDNS, I went ahead and put this on my router this week just to see if it works, and it does. What it is it's a monitoring software that you put on your internet router. And so it monitors any device that is connected and running through your internet. So it doesn't monitor devices that are run through data. But if you shut data off on a kid's phone or something like that so that they can only access Wi-Fi at the house, it'll monitor their internet activity and block them from going to certain sites and that type of thing. It's pretty easy to download. Websites, Fight the New Drug. I have a couple of resources that I printed off from there. These are free, but if any of y'all, after we get done, there's, I think, four left. It just has really good resources on how to start conversations about pornography, how to make someone feel open and comfortable, but be very direct and those types of things. And just some recovery resources are found on there. PornHelp, same type of thing. It's a good website. The freedomfight.org is put on by Stumo at the U of A, and they've developed a lot of videos that you do have to purchase, but they're really good. And I know they've done it, you might know this, but they've done it with a lot of guys through Stumo and have tested it out, and it seems to be really, really good material on battling pornography and recovering from pornography. So you might check that one out. Step studies, we may put on a step study for our students or leaders. We can do separate ones, a leader step study or a student one, for kids who are struggling with this, if that's something that y'all have kids that could benefit from. What a step study does, it's like a cell group, but on a whole nother level, where you get at the very, very root and heart of issues and learn why you have them, acknowledge that you have them, and learn to grow from them from a biblical perspective. So books, there's lots of books on there. Somebody on our team has read most of them, I think, and so go check those out. A couple of movie things, VidAngel, I use VidAngel, but I just found out they're being investigated by the Supreme Court or something. You can't use it right now. But what it is, because I went on there to watch a movie, I was like, oh, I can't watch movies anymore. VidAngel, if they get cleared by the Supreme Court, which hopefully they do, they allow you to purchase the rights to a movie. And so you pay $20 to watch a movie, but you get to filter. You actually only end up paying $1. I'll explain why. You pay $20, you get to watch a movie, and you can say no F words, no nudity, no sex scenes. You can check all these things. And so if there is a really good movie out there that you want to watch, but it does have that one scene or bad language, you can filter it so that you don't see all that. So you pay $20 and then you sell it back to them for $19. So you pay $1 to watch the movie. But again, don't go try to do it because you can't. That's that one. Plugged In, Kids in Mind. These are websites where you can go in and see what is actually in the movie. So you can see how much nudity or cussing or whatever it may be. And so I always, if Alex and I are gonna go see a movie, I go to Kids in Mind, I type it in, I'm like, nude scene, can't go see it. I know my past, it's just not worth it. And so that's something that we use all the time. So those are the resources. We can talk more about them. And I'll talk about whitelisting and restricting a phone. Can I have one of those? I'll do it really quickly. Do y'all know what whitelisting or phone restrictions are? Have y'all heard of those? I would just say if any guy is in here and doesn't have your phone restricted, oh, I'm stepping too far out. Come to me. The iPhone. Yeah, pure iPhone. So we'll have these available for y'all, and there's one for Android as well. But this just gives you a step-by-step guide on how to put restrictions on your phone. Restrictions being you can restrict the phone from downloading apps. So parents need to know this, by the way. You need to take some copies and teach them how to do this. My phone is restricted. My wife knows the password. So I can't download apps or delete apps or visit any kind of adult content on Safari through the internet. Now, again, this only monitors the internet. It doesn't monitor apps. So, for instance, all these restrictions, but if I still have the Twitter app, I can find stuff there. And so this would be a good thing for y'all to go through, and if you want to stick around, I can show you how to do it. It's really, really simple. I can even put it on there for you and then text somebody the code so that you just already have it. So that's a good resource. And then the 10th one, same way we started, we got to build a vision for pursuing holiness, and that comes through Jesus. We have to point kids to him in all of these conversations. We can't just attack the sin, but we have to teach them that ultimately to defeat these things, it comes from holiness, which we find in Jesus because of his sacrifice, because of him conquering sin.